Father, we just want to thank you for this year's VBS, God. Thank you for all the children that heard your word again, who returned this year. Also, we want to especially thank you for those who came for the first time this year's VBS, God, and heard your word. God, we just pray that, Lord, you would reach out and touch these children, that they would know you personally, Lord, and have a relationship with you. Lord Jesus, that they would grow up to be men and women of God. Lord, we also pray for our time in your word this morning. God, speak to us as we look at your ministry, Lord Jesus. Lord, speak to us individually. Challenge us. Comfort us. Convict us, Lord. Bring us back to you. Speak to us individually and as a body. And Lord, let us not just be listeners, hearers, but let us be doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, that's why. The lights take a long time to come on. Is that what's going on? Oh, bummer. Got to do something about that. Well, this morning we're continuing our series on what is the church? Images of the church in the New Testament. And last week we talked about disciples. Did you know that the first followers of Jesus, the early followers of Jesus, they called themselves disciples? That's the term that they used to refer to themselves. The term disciples predates the term Christian. Before they called themselves Christians, they called themselves disciples. And this morning, we want to talk about making disciples. Last week, we talked about what it means to be a disciple, being disciples. This week, today, we're going to talk about making disciples. What was Jesus' final command? His last words, the Great Commission, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, to all the nations and make disciples, mathuzate, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to command, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. For lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. Amen. And so the only command in Jesus' Great Commission, if you look in the original language, there's actually only one command, mathuzate, make disciples. Our job as Christians, our mission as followers of Jesus is to make disciples. Well, how do we do that? How do we make disciples? The best place to begin is with Jesus. Jesus' ministry. How did Jesus make disciples? And then looking at Jesus' disciples, the apostles, the 12, the first followers of Jesus, how did they make disciples? And once we've looked at Jesus' ministry of making disciples, once we've looked at the apostles, the first disciples' ministry of making disciples, then we can answer the question, how will we, Discovery Christian Community in Murray, Utah, 2016, how should we make disciples? So let's look first of all at how did Jesus make disciples? Now, in one sense, you could say that the whole Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's almost 50% of the entire New Testament. That's 89 chapters. You could say that all four Gospels are a manual in disciple-making. Jesus' major ministry was making disciples. Most of his energy, most of his time, most of his passion was directed towards making disciples. He chose 12. Of course, there were many more people than 12 that followed him, but he chose 12 to be his disciples. And he spent most of his time and energy investing in them and making them, making disciples. Now, of course, we can't go through 89 chapters this morning in a few minutes. And so I have to give you a summary of how Jesus made disciples. And as I was looking through the Gospels this week, I narrowed it down to seven ways that Jesus made disciples. First and foremost, it began with a call. Jesus called people to follow him. Follow me, he said, and I will make you fishers of men. And to Levi, the tax collector, Matthew, in Matthew chapter 8, to Andrew and Philip in John chapter 1. And all throughout his ministry, Jesus was calling people, come, follow me. So Jesus was always calling people. He was always inviting people to come, follow me. Second, those who responded, those who obeyed the call to follow him, he taught them. Jesus' ministry to the disciples was a teaching ministry. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, he calls the disciples to calls people to follow him. And then in chapters 5 through 7, we have the Sermon on the Mount. In chapter 5, verse 1, we learn that the Sermon on the Mount, which is the most, you know, famous quoted sermon of all time, the Sermon on the Mount was actually directed to, addressed to Jesus' disciples. And all throughout his ministry, Jesus was teaching the 12. It says in Mark 4:34 that Jesus did not speak to them without a parable, that is to the multitudes, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. Jesus taught everyone, the multitudes, but we know that Jesus taught his disciples much more than he did the multitudes. He taught them much more in depth. Jesus taught his disciples. Third, Matthew chapter 4, he calls them. Matthew chapters 5 through 7, he teaches them. Matthew chapters 8 and 9, Jesus demonstrates his power to the disciples. Jesus was constantly demonstrating the power of God to his disciples. And so if you read Matthew chapters 8 and 9, Matthew chapter 8, Jesus begins, he heals a leper. He heals a paraplegic. He heals Peter's mother-in-law. So he demonstrates his power over sickness, over the human body. And then, after that, he demonstrates his power over nature. He calms the storm, the wind, and the waves. After that, he demonstrates his power over demons, over the Satan. He exorcises demons out of two demon-possessed men. And then in chapter 9, he demonstrates his power even to forgive sins. Forgives sins. And so third, Jesus demonstrated his power to the disciples, the power of God. Well, fourth, after calling them to follow him, after teaching them, and after demonstrating God's power to them, it was time to send them out. And so the fourth thing Jesus did with his disciples was he sent them out. In Matthew chapter 10, it says, he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. In Matthew 10, 7 and 8, Jesus says, proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. So Jesus not only taught the disciples and modeled ministry to them, and showed them God's power, but now he sent them out to do the work of ministry themselves. And all throughout the gospel, Jesus' disciples were not standing around listening to him. They were ministering together with him. Well, fifth, the fifth thing Jesus did to make disciples is he challenged their faith. He challenged their faith. All throughout the gospels, Jesus says, oh, you of little faith, right? Jesus was constantly telling his disciples, oh, you of little faith. Why can't you have more faith? In Matthew chapter 14, we have the feeding of the 5,000. Five loaves, three fish. Jesus fed 5,000 people. And he was challenging the disciples' faith. Why don't you give them something to eat? Challenging them to trust God more. And then he walked on the water. Did you know that the only story that appears in all four Gospels, besides the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ, the only story we find in all four Gospels is the feeding of the 5,000 and Jesus walking on water? It happened in the same day. It shows us that this had a profound impact on Jesus' disciples. Jesus was challenging their faith. If you believe, come out on the water and walk to me. Well, sixth, the disciples were human, and they fell. on the night when Jesus needed them most. They fled. They deserted him. When he was arrested, put on trial, crucified, it says all the disciples fled. What did Jesus do? Say, all right, scrap you guys, I'm going to choose 12 new guys. No. When he rose from the dead, he appeared to his disciples many times, and we have the story in John chapter 21, verse 15 through 19. Jesus cooks breakfast. Did you know Jesus could cook? I wonder what it tasted like. Jesus cooks breakfast for the disciples. And then after breakfast, he asks Peter three times, Simon Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Why do you think Jesus asked Peter three times? How many times did Peter deny Jesus? Three times Peter denied him. Three times Jesus asked, do you love me? In other words, Jesus is restoring Peter. Jesus is forgiving Peter. And after Peter says three times, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, he says, follow me. So he's going back to the beginning, issuing that call, come, Peter, follow me. Jesus restored the disciples. He forgave them and restored them after they fell away. Well, seventh and finally, I've already referred to it, the last part of Jesus' discipleship of the 12 was the Great Commission. I've already quoted it. The last thing Jesus did on earth before he ascended to heaven was to commission his disciples to go out to the ends of the earth. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, go therefore to all the nations and make disciples. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, go to all the world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. In Luke 24, 44 to 49, you know, this gospel of repentance and forgiveness of sins, the gospel of Jesus dying and rising from the dead, this will be preached to all nations, and you are my witnesses. You are witnesses of these things. In John 20, verse 21, as the Father sent me, so send I you into the world. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power to be my witnesses in Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. All four Gospels and the book of Acts make it very clear the last thing Jesus did was to commission his disciples to go to the ends of the earth. That is how Jesus, in a nutshell, summary, made disciples. Well, the second question is, how did Jesus' disciples make disciples? The apostles. The apostles, the first followers of Jesus, how did they make disciples? It's something very important. I want you to understand this. The 12 apostles never appointed successor apostles. Do you know that? If you study the book of Acts, study the Bible, study the New Testament, we never see Simon Peter at the end of his life saying, all right, I got to choose who's going to succeed me as the apostle. We never see the 12 apostles appointing successor apostles to follow after them. Some churches have apostles. They even have 12 apostles. And for many people, it sounds very biblical. Oh, Jesus had 12 apostles, so yeah, a church with 12 apostles, that sounds really good. The apostles of Jesus themselves never appointed apostles to follow after them. What did the apostles do? They preached the gospel and planted churches. They planted churches. That was how they passed the baton of their ministry on. There's even another movement in the body of Christ, started somewhere down in South America. You know, a pastor, I choose 12 to disciple, and then each of the 12 chooses 12, and so there's like this pyramid, right? Again, in the New Testament, we don't see the 12 apostles each choosing 12 apostles of their own. They don't form little groups of apostles, of disciples and disciple them. The local church is the context of discipleship. The mission, the command of Christ is to make disciples. And this takes place in the context of the local church. Look with me in Acts chapter 14, verse 21 through 23. Acts chapter 14, verse 21. Paul is on his first missionary journey. Paul and Barnabas. It says, when they had preached the gospel to that city, that is the city of Derbe, and they had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, to Iconium, and to Antioch. Those are cities in Asia Minor. Verse 22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. How did the Apostle Paul make disciples? It says it right here, Acts 14, 21 for 23. First of all, he preached the gospel, the good news that Jesus came, he died. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. Whoever believes in him, whoever trusts in him, your sins will be forgiven. You will have everlasting life. That's the gospel. Paul was preaching this message, and it says that he had made disciples. Those who responded, those who obeyed the call, the invitation, became disciples. And what did Paul do? Secondly, Paul taught them. He was teaching them. It says he was strengthening the souls. He was encouraging them to continue in faith, saying that through many tribulations we must enter. So Paul, after he had preached the gospel and made disciples, he taught the disciples. And then what did he do? He formed a band of 12 and called them his disciples. Is that what it says in verse 23? It says, when they had appointed elders for them in every church. The church. Discipleship takes place in the context of the local church. The community of disciples is now the church. And the apostles handed off the baton of their ministry, not to successor apostles, but to elders. To elders. Let's talk about pastors and elders. There's a lot of confusion about the meaning of these terms because every denomination and church, frankly, infuses them with their own meaning. But what did these terms mean in the New Testament? You have three terms. You have elders, presbyteros. You have pastors, poimen. And you have bishops, episkopos. These are three terms. Now, in the New Testament, I know in different denominations they have different meanings, but what do they mean in the Bible? In the Bible, they're synonymous. The word pastor, elder, bishop are synonymous terms, all referring to one and the same office or ministry, the leader of the church. In Acts 20, verse 28, it says that in verse 17 that Paul was speaking to the elders at Ephesus, presbyteros. Acts 20, verse 28, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. That word is bishop, episkopos. What are they supposed to do? To care for the church of God. That word care is literally to pastor, poimaino, from which the word pastor comes from. So Paul is saying, speaking to the elders, saying, God has made you bishops of the local church to pastor the church. You see, pastors, elders, bishops in the New Testament, they're synonymous for church leadership. In 1 Peter 5, Peter says, so I exhort the elders, presbyteros among you, as the apostle numero uno, is that what he says? As the first pope? No. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder. Simon Peter himself says, I'm a fellow elder. The apostles handed the baton of their ministry to the pastors and elders, bishops of the local church. We are to continue their ministry of disciple making. He says, shepherd, pastor, the word pastor, literally, shepherd the flock of God, pastor the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, the word oversight, bishop, not domineering, but being examples to the flock. So in the New Testament, the word pastor, elder, bishop, refers all to one and the same office of a church leader. And Peter says our job is to be examples. Now our mission as a church is to make disciples. And so my job as pastor is to be an example, to set an example of disciple making. So I should change my job title. My job title should read CED, Chief Executive Disciple Maker. Or perhaps CDO, Chief Disciple Making Officer. And Scott, Rick, Danjima, Justin, as elders, pastors of this church, our job is to be the CDOs, the Chief Disciple Making Officers, the CEDs, the chief executive disciple makers. You see, we are to set an example of a lifestyle of making disciples for you to follow. Now, Jesus' command to make disciples was not just to what was to us all. And so it's not just my job to make disciples, or Scott, or Rick, or Danjuma, or Justin's job. We're not the only ones that are supposed to make disciples. Everyone is supposed to make disciples. Everyone who calls himself a follower of Jesus, we're called to make disciples. Our job is to inspire, to empower you, to be an example for you to follow. We see this in the early church. In the early church, the example of the 12, the first church in Jerusalem, the 12 apostles were preaching the gospel with power, signs and wonders. Hundreds, thousands of people were coming to faith in Christ. They were making disciples. What happens in chapter 6 of the book of Acts? The ministry grows too large. And so the 12 apostles, they appoint 7 to serve tables. You remember the story? To serve with the daily distribution, the food distribution ministry. Stephen and Philip, etc. The interesting thing is, the Bible doesn't tell us anything about Stephen and Philip's table serving ministry. They were appointed to serve tables. But they not only served tables. In Acts chapter 6, verse 8, it says, Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Stephen was appointed to serve tables, set up chairs, you know, do the yard work, do the children's ministry, but he did much more. He preached the gospel with power, and he made disciples. And the Jews didn't know what to do with him, so they killed him in chapter 7. In chapter 8, Luke takes up the narrative. The second one of the 7, Philip, tells us about Philip's ministry. Did you know Philip was the first evangelist? The first one called an evangelist in the New Testament? Did you know Philip was the first missionary ever? The first missionary? He went to Samaria, and then the Spirit whisked him away to the Ethiopian eunuch, and he converted an Ethiopian man. Many believe he's the beginning of the church, the Ethiopian church. So we see in the first church, the divine model for church that God gives to us in the scriptures. The 12 apostles set the example of a lifestyle of making disciples. They're preaching the gospel and teaching. And their example is contagious. You see, Stephen and Philip, and then in chapter 8, verse 4, it says, the church, they went everywhere preaching the word. They set the example, and the whole congregation followed after them, making disciples wherever they went. That is God's model for church, and that should be our model for the church. We, as your leaders, should set an example of a lifestyle of disciple making that empowers you, that inspires you to make disciples. So now we come to our final question, which is, how should we make disciples? We've talked about how Jesus made disciples. We've talked about how Jesus' disciples, the apostles, made disciples. Based on this, the big question is, how should we, Discovery Christian Community, make disciples? First of all, again, if we want to be a biblical church, if we want to be a Jesus church, our church vision has to be to make disciples. It can't be anything else. That's Jesus' command to us. Go and make disciples. And in the book of Acts, we see that the context of discipleship is the local church. The local church is where the discipleship takes place. And it starts with pastors, with elders, with leaders, being CEDs, being CDOs, setting an example, a lifestyle of discipleship making. And as we set the example and model what it means to make disciples, the church will follow. Secondly, how many of you had a bracelet I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, maybe longer than that. How many of you had a WWJD bracelet? All right. Yeah. I think that was, what, junior high or something for me? So, WWJD. So why don't we make bracelets that say HWJMD? What do you think? No? It's probably not going to catch. But HWJMD, how would Jesus make disciples? Should be our model. Our model, our method is from Jesus, following after Jesus' discipleship model. How would Jesus make disciples? And the seven ways that Jesus makes disciples, they have direct relevance for us. First of all, as Jesus did, we are to call people, to invite people to follow Christ, to be his disciples. Evangelism, going out and inviting people to come follow Jesus. Secondly, teach people. Teach the disciples. Obviously, we teach people the Word of God. Making disciples means teaching people to follow all that Jesus has commanded, Jesus' commands. We're teaching people to follow Jesus' commands, teaching the Word of God. Well, thirdly, Jesus showed, he demonstrated God's power, the power of Christ to the disciples. Discovery Christian Community, don't you long to be a place where people experience God's power? People would experience Jesus saving, healing, delivering. That's what God wants this church to be. A place where people experience the power of God in their lives. And you know what? We can't produce that, right? We can't produce it. So what is our role? Well, the early church, it says the first thing they did when Jesus ascended is they gathered together to pray. We can't heal people. We can only pray and ask God. If we have an atmosphere of prayer in our church, then we're going to have an atmosphere of God's power. We're going to see God moving as we pray together. Well, fourth, Jesus sent his disciples out. Think about how little they knew. They didn't know anything, really. And yet Jesus sent them out anyway. We have to have a culture of sending people out, of empowering people to minister in our church. And not just in these four walls. You know, I'm reading a book right now called Growing God's Church. And it's a new study came out about, you know, how do churches grow? How can you reach people? And this study basically just consolidated a study that was done 30 years ago. And basically the most important result is that, hands down, by far, the most people that come to the church are friends and family members of those who are already there. Hands down, the most effective way to reach people is through your friends, your family. And so we as a church need to empower you, empower us, to reach our friends, to reach our family for Christ. Fifth, Jesus was challenging the disciples to grow in their faith. Is Discovery Christian Community a big faith church? Do we have an atmosphere, a culture of expecting great things from God, of having great things, of having great faith, of believing God for big things? You know, William Carey, the first missionary to India, he said, expect great things from God, attempt great things from God. Is that our church? Are we expecting great things from God and attempting great things for God? Do we have a culture of taking risks, faith-filled, bold, faith-filled risks for God, expecting great things from God and attempting great things for him? Sixth, Jesus restored the disciples when they fell. Very, very pertinent for our church, right? We're humans, and people fall. People make mistakes. They fall away. We need to have a culture that would receive people back, that would forgive them. And yet, in our day and age, it's not just forgiving someone. It's not just accepting them. But Jesus actually restored Simon Peter to a place of ministry. Jesus didn't say, just say, oh, Peter, I forgive you, but now I'm going to go on to the next guy. Peter actually, Jesus restored Peter to a place of ministry. And so having a culture that not only forgives people, that accepts people when they fall, but moves them on to a place where they're effective, ministering for the Lord again. And seventh, of course, Jesus commissioned them to go to the ends of the earth. How many churches has our church planted? I mean, Discovery's been around since 60, 70 years. How many churches has this church planted? How many missionaries have been sent out to the ends of the earth from this church? If we're truly being effective at discipling people, it will show itself in the end. Ultimately, the last step is to send people out. Send people out planting churches. Send people out as missionaries to the ends of the earth. People are in here. I know that there's people in this congregation even now. God has called them. Are we a church that empowers people, that sends them out? Discovery Christian Community, our vision has to be, if we want to be a Jesus church, if we want to be a biblical church, our primary vision has to be to make disciples. And the New Testament teaches, the Bible teaches, that the context for doing this, for making disciples, is the local church. It's accomplished through the church. It's accomplished as we as a church, as we follow Christ's example, HWJMD, how would Jesus make disciples? And it scares me to say this, but as I, as the pastor, and as the elders of this church, as we set an example for you to follow, and that's scary. It's a scary responsibility to think about, wow, I have to be an example. I can't ask you to do anything that I'm not doing myself, right? As we as leaders are setting an example of making disciples, and as we empower you, each one in this church, to be a disciple that makes disciples to all nations, going to all nations, fulfilling the Great Commission, and making disciples. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you, God, that you became a man, that you gave your life, you shed your blood in order to be able to call us, to invite us to come and follow after you. There is nothing greater we could do with our lives. Lord, we acknowledge as a church that it is our mission, it is our vision, it is our purpose as a church to be a community of disciples, to make disciples, to be disciples and to make disciples. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We don't have to figure it out ourselves. Lord, we have the Gospels. We have your word that tells us how to make disciples. So, Lord Jesus, I pray that we as a church, that we would study your word, that we would learn from you, Lord, about how to make disciples. Secondly, Lord, I pray for us as leaders, for me as pastor, for our elders, for the leaders of this church, God, that we would be examples to the flock. We cannot ask anyone to do anything that we ourselves are not doing. So if our vision is to make disciples, we have to make disciples. Help me, Lord, as the chief executive disciple maker, as the chief disciple making officer of this church, God, to set an example for others to follow. Lord, that not just the leaders of this church, not just a pastor or an elder would make disciples, but as it says in your word, that those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word, that the whole church, all of us, each and every one of us, would be disciples and make disciples, Lord. And I pray that our church, that we would even plant churches, that we would send missionaries, God, that we would fulfill your calling. Ultimately, Lord, making disciples means sending them, commissioning them to go to the ends of the earth. Lord, may we as a church be a church of disciples that make disciples to the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.